Now, have you noticed the face of a politician sneaking uninvited into your Facebook feed lately? If you have, you are not alone. Many of our Canberra politicians are now buying the digital real estate on your Facebook page. Figures from the federal government provided to RN Breakfast show that for the last full year that data was available, Australian politicians spent more than $120,000 on Facebook ads and sponsored posts to capture your attention. So is this just a logical progression from letters in the mail or ads in the local papers, the old-fashioned forms of political communication? Steve Vallis is the co-founder of digital consultancy Chunky Media. He advises businesses on how best to use social media. Steve, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Hamish.
It seems pretty straightforward to start moving your advertising into the digital space, but if, you know, they're spending a fair amount of money on this.
I think it's only the beginning, Hamish. I think we'll find as we move towards the next election cycle that the spend will ramp up very significantly. And the cost that's not identified in the figures that you've been provided there are the costs of the consultants, the brand strategists, generally the people that are creating the content that will be disseminated on those social media platforms.
I live in America at the moment most of the time, and certainly I would say that the embrace of social media in the election season there is much greater than what it is here. Will we be sort of spammed on social media next time there's an election in Australia, do you think?
I think the good news about platforms such as Facebook is, generally speaking, they're not in the business of killing the goose that laid the golden egg. So they know that, by and large, people don't want a lot of political content in the form of ads polluting their newsfeed. So they're not going to shove that down people's throat. What they're going to do is look for the signals that say that people who are on social platforms are interested in politics, and if they are, they'll serve that content up. But if they're not, then you'll find that it's going to be a little bit harder to wedge your way in than you'd think.
Why do they need to actually spend money on it? You can be very successful in the social media space for free.
Absolutely. And I guess it's a question of what the priority is for the content that's being produced. Very hard to provide any justification for spending money when what you're trying to do is effectively brand building. And a lot of politicians at the moment are in the business of building their personal brands on Facebook in particular. It's not something that was available to them in years gone by, but now you can effectively make yourself more likable if you can use those platforms. Mm. That content isn't generally what you're going to be looking to sponsor. What you're looking to sponsor instead is policy announcements, which is a little bit of a grey area, potentially. Well, it's still brand building, but it's something that you can more readily say this is a little bit of political credibility that's established by spends and programs that you're running out through various sort of regional Victoria or nationally.
So what's the trick for a politician in building a digital brand?
I think importantly, you may have seen recently, if you can be funny on social channels, it makes you much more likable. And I think Mike Baird in New South Wales recently...
How many politicians can do that?
Well, you'd be surprised. It doesn't take a huge amount. Because it's so atypical to have a politician do something amusing, it tends to garner a much bigger bit of attention. So if you think about Mike Baird tweeting about the fact that he was sitting at home watching The Bachelor recently, he got a lot of social love on Twitter because people envisaged the Premier of New South Wales sitting at home watching the same TV show that they were.
Sure, but how do you do it if you're not? I mean, he has great social currency, right? Because he's young, he's a good-looking bloke, he's relatively fresh in office. There's all sorts of factors that give him that opportunity to be in that space. There's a lot of politicians that are not in that territory. Can they do that?
It depends on the message that they're trying to get out. Someone like Sarah Hanson-Young, for example, is very strong on issues, and her content tends not to be funny. The lighthearted content. No, it's not funny. There are issues that tend to either polarise or they create engagement. That's another tactic. So it's a horses for courses approach.
Do you actually advise some politicians, I don't know even whether you advise politicians, but would you advise some politicians actually to stay out of that space?
I don't think it's possible to stay out of that space anymore. I think recent sort of polling had suggested that over 90% of politicians are on social channels, primarily Twitter and Facebook. I think you need to be there. You need to be mindful, though, that the voice that you communicate on social channels is consistent with the voice that you communicate outside of social channels. You're very quickly found out as disingenuous if you do something different on social than you otherwise would.
But I mean, so often politicians land in hot water because of things they say in the social media space. How do they navigate that? I mean, obviously you want to build up your relationship with consumers of that form of media, but I mean, you know, even in recent weeks, there's been stories about MPs saying things, you know, on Facebook that are inconsistent with the leader of their party and that sort of thing.
I think on social channels, when you post the good news and the bad news is the same thing, it's a little bit like a sugar hit. It's very quickly lost in the stream. So the credit that you get for a funny, relevant, interesting tweet or Facebook post is lost just as quickly as the annoying post, the post that seems a little bit self-serving. So it quickly moves through. So I don't think the damage is as much as people think it is, and I don't think the upside is the same either.
Do you actually advise politicians?
I've steered clear of advising politicians at this point in time.
Why?
I think the difficulty that you have is there are certain vanity metrics that I think appeal to politicians. They want the broadest possible reach, and it's from a strategy point of view, increasingly we sell a more sophisticated strategy that is making sure that you target the people that really want to hear your message or the people that you might be able to influence.
Politicians are not much interested in that.
They're not. They do. It is a popularity contest ultimately, so they do want to go as far and wide as possible. So I don't think it's a great strategy. Generally, in the longer term, I think it's going to become increasingly a poorer and poorer strategy. And those that will be more successful will be the ones that target the niches that serve them well.
So you're sort of narrow casting and they're wanting broadcasting.
Just more sophisticated in the targeting. I mean, the profile that you can identify on Facebook in particular, Facebook is streets ahead of everybody else. You can be very, very specific about who you want to get a message to. And I think, unfortunately, most of the spend that you'll find in the next 18 to 24 months will effectively spray spend all across communities that otherwise aren't interested in the message.
Great. Thanks very much for the conversation this morning, Steve Vallis. I take it you won't be taking calls from politicians in the new year.
I'll always take the call. I'll be polite.
Thanks very much. Steve Vallis is the co-founder of digital firm Chunky Media.